So we're kind of getting into the midpoint of the book of James this morning. You know, James has this progression in this letter that might feel like kind of like a stream of consciousness. You know, the advice and the instruction he's giving is kind of layered in different ways throughout the letter. And let's just face it, one area of character or personal holiness in our lives, it spills into the over into the other, right? James begins this with the testing of your faith so you can be conformed to the image of Christ. And then we see next how our faith is tested in being a doer of the word under the law of liberty, and how the good works that have been set for us are naturally flowing out of our faith. And it seems like this is getting more and more personal as we're going through this and more pointed. And then this next level of testing comes out where we get to and James says, in more flowery language, but James says, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth and every word that comes out of it. And boy, is that ever a test for so many of us. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll go through what the Lord would have us learn from this morning. Father, I pray that even as we consider your words, that you would show us how to use our words, that you would give us an understanding of how you are active and alive and working with us to accomplish your purposes for your kingdom, that we would be transformed and conformed into the image of your Son, even as we testify of who he is in all situations, all circumstances, and in all of our life. We pray that you would be using us, using your church, that your word would be going out, that those that don't know you would come to know you and to trust you and to love you. And those that do know you would have their faith rekindled, that they would be having an increased joy as they recognize how you are constantly at work. I pray that you would do the work this morning of having our ears attuned to your word, that our hearts would be changed, that our minds would be transformed, and that we can become closer and closer to you. We just ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Let's go through and read these first 12 verses of James chapter 3. He says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole and if anyone is not someone, when he says he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a force to set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So we're going to be looking at this morning, and we want to understand how to use our words. How to use our words. And, you know, a lot of this talks about taming the tongue, you know, the whole concept of taming the tongue. I want to be even more emphatic on that. It's not just about taming the tongue and not doing something wrong, but on how we can use our words and use them effectively for the gospel. The first point you can see in your bulletin there is that we want to use our words under full control. Under full control. If you remember back in James chapter 1, verse 26, James says, If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Yes, our words should be bridled. Our words should be under control. They shouldn't be allowed to run free. Free-range chicken is okay. A free-range tongue is not. You know, I'm just venting. I just want to go ahead and get this off my chest. These things are not permissible or beneficial with the word. Verse number one reminds us, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways. Now, James is including himself, he's one of the teachers. James is putting himself in the same place and says that he's one of the people that stumble in many ways. Think about all of our brilliant, trained orators that we have today. People who make their lives trying to use their words to get results. They spend all of their time having their perfect speeches written. They practice those speeches in front of many others. And then they make a mistake or a blunder as they're finally delivering that speech to the intended audience. If they can't get it right, how can we expect to get it right? We all stumble in many ways. Think about that news broadcaster, you know, the one who talks for a living. It doesn't happen often, but when they slip up on their words, we remember it better than anything else they've ever said. For we all stumble in many ways. But what about you? What about you? Do you ever lose control of your tongue? If you say no, then James already has an answer for you. Right? Look at verse number two. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. He's able to bridle. Everything's under control. If you can control your tongue perfectly, you'll be able to control anything that you think, say, or do. Congratulations. Good for you. But if you're like the rest of us, you can't control your tongue constantly. You need to be reminded of this. You know, I think this content that James gives us, but if anyone becomes teachers, he's specifically saying, if anyone's becoming a teacher, and as I'm saying this, the sound booth is approaching me. Thank you, Lydia, for your boldness in coming up front to correct the words that nobody could hear. Let's talk about this concept that James is bringing up as teachers, right? You know, I don't think this is separate from the whole thing about using the tongue, right? If any of you should become teachers, you will be judged more harshly. And I think it's easy for someone to say, well, I'm not going to be a teacher. I'm not going to be in that position of being a teacher. I don't need to be worrying about judging with that. I would ask you to be thinking about how often you've gone through your week this past week, and you've been talking to somebody else, and you've been trying to teach them something, to persuade them something, to instruct them in something, to convince them in something, to share your own opinion that they would take that opinion in themselves. I would think we find ourselves more often than not in a position of doing some kind of teaching. Now, James is specifically talking about those who are presenting the word for what's going on. But I would challenge you that when you're sharing with somebody else and you're in a position of teaching with them, you would recognize as you're trying to convince them of something that God is the one who's going to judge you for what that teaching is. Right? If you go ahead and say, well, I'm not teaching, I'm just talking. Well, I want to challenge you. Is what you're saying always pure and perfect? Do you always use your words under full control? Right? It's not just a warning for the teachers or the professional speech makers. Now, some of you might have gone down to verse number 8 and taken the easy out on this entire topic, right? You might be able to check out, but you can say, well, no human being can tame the tongue anyhow. Why should I worry about this stuff? We can't do it anyhow. The Bible says it. It's a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. Shucks, if nobody should contain their tongue, then I should just let it wag in the breeze. I can't stop it anyhow. Let me just go ahead and say whatever I want to say. Boys, girls, men, and women, Jesus has a pretty clear comment on this. Let me read to you some of these verses. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the mouth speaks. I see Lydia lurking in the background again. Are we okay, Lydia? We'll work through it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. As we have Dan involved now, maybe we need to do a mic change? Yes? No? Somewhere in your notes, you need to write down that while the poor guy is trying to talk to you about using your words, you're only getting half of them that are coming through. But somewhere in there is the self-control of the words I'm not saying right now. Are we good, Dan? All right, so we're going to keep on using this. And I will pay close attention to the movement in the tech booth on the other side. The point I want to make with this is, whenever we say that we can't control our tongue, whenever we say that we cannot possibly have control over it, it's just the way it is, everyone's like it, the Bible itself says we can't tame its tongue, we need to remember that Jesus gives a very clear warning to us, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and that people are going to give an account for every careless word that they speak. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Now, it's not your words that condemn you. It's the condition of your heart that condemns you. What you say, it just reveals what's in your heart. If what your tongue says is not under control, then what does that tell you about what the heart that's controlling your tongue? Or maybe the heart that's controlling your text, your social media posts, or your emails, right? Yes, what you say can be a significant testing of your faith. Remember, James has this entire context of our faith is being tested, and that as an end result, we'd be conforming more and more into the image of Christ, even about when and how and why we say what we're saying. And James is right. He says that no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil. It is full of deadly poison. But I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit of God is no human being. It's not the human being that we're asking to control our tongue. Again, in Matthew, Jesus says, when they deliver you, do not be anxious about how to speak or what you're to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. We need to use our words under full control, and this is only possible when we are under the full control of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, as I was preparing this message, and I kind of get worried about getting ready for these things, because whatever lesson I'm going to try to teach you guys on Sunday morning, God makes it show up somehow in the week before. So I'm thinking I'm getting through the week okay, controlling my tongue, doing all right, doing a little errands yesterday. So I decide to go to the bank because I have to cash a large check. I have plenty in my account to cover it. But the bank tells me that they'll need a week's notice to make sure they have enough cash on hand. I even heard the see the little what coming out of there, right? We got to control our tongue, right? As I was walking out of the bank, I realized I must have left the Holy Spirit in the car when I was in the bank. The poor teller, they had no control of this situation whatsoever. Why was I so heated up about unloading on her my opinion on this secret policy and how I felt about not having instant access to my money? You know, even that excuse going through my head, right? You know, Jesus drove the money lenders out of the temple, right? Well, it doesn't say be angry at money lenders, right? It doesn't say be angry at the bankers. It falls flat because when Jesus said those words, he was absolutely under the control of the Holy Spirit. And when he spoke, when he said, my house should be called a house of prayer, but you made it out of a den of robbers, he wasn't talking about how much cash was in his own pocket. Remember, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If I listen to what I'm saying, then my own words of self-righteous indignation show me that maybe I need some work on this whole money thing going on in my heart. Instead of giving the poor bank teller a workout. You know, we need to use our words under full control. People are going to give an account for every careless word that they speak. Jesus never, ever spoke a careless word. Even as he was being tried for his crucifixions, there are several examples of how he remained silent in the face of his accusers. You know, this is another example of using our words under full control. Maybe, just maybe, we shouldn't say anything at all. Yes, that wonderful comeback, that wonderful response you've got lined up, that quick little comment that can get out there and get your point across, maybe you just shouldn't say it and you should be silent. You know, and you can write the reference down. Proverbs 17:27 says that whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. That reminds me of this very familiar Mark Twain quote, right? It's better to keep your mouth closed and let people think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. I've been in meetings like that where I've just decided not to say anything until finally they turn around and look at me and ask for my opinion. That's a dangerous place to be in. If you can't be under the control of the Holy Spirit and what's coming out of your mouth, then pray that either he's going to give you the words or help you to zip your lip. It's okay to keep your mouth closed. Proverbs 21:23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. We need to use our words under full control. What you say is revealing what's in your heart. But I also want to tell you that what you say works the other way as well. What you say also changes your heart. What you say reveals what's in your heart, but it also changes what's in your heart. Again, James 1:26 reminds us that if anyone thinks he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. You can deceive your own heart by having your tongue wag loose. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, but the mouth also speaks to the heart. Verse 6, chapter 3 says, the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members. And look at this, staining the whole body. Which of your members, what part of your bodies can stain your entire body? Setting on fire the entire course of life and set on fire by hell.
You know, in a couple of weeks, Lord willing, we're going to be looking at how to have victory over worldliness in chapter 4. But it starts off with James using words like quarrels and fights and boastings. All of these things are sins of the tongue that stain the speaker and the hearer, setting everything on fire. Have you ever said something in anger to hurt someone else, only to realize under the conviction of the Holy Spirit how much you've hurt yourself? A 15-minute argument could cripple the relationship or separate family members for life, setting on fire the entire course of life. You know, the sins of the tongue, they don't just come out of the tongue, out of the heart, they speak into the heart. And they build an appetite. And they cause an ease of greater wickedness. You know, Paul speaks this in 2 Corinthians 12. He says, "For I fear that perhaps when I come, I might find you not as I wish, and that you might not find me as you wish, but that perhaps there will be quarreling, there will be jealousy, there will be anger, there will be hostility and slander and gossip and conceit and disorder." If we're not in full control of the sins of the tongue, they will be in control of us. If you tell one lie, you're going to need to tell three more lies to cover it up. And then you have to tell nine more lies to cover that up. And then do the math. Sooner or later, you forget the difference between truth and a lie. Gossip, slander, murmuring, complaining, these are all just addictive sins of the tongue. And they're just as habit forming. We need to stop it under the control of the Holy Spirit. No human being can tame the tongue. James is right. But by the Holy Spirit of God, you can bring all of your words under control as you bring all of you under control. Think about that as you're going through this next week. Think of that as you're trying to make an point or share an opinion or to get something across and convey it. Are you doing it because it's a great sounding argument? Or are you doing it because the Spirit of God is having you communicate that to somebody else in a way that's under full control? All right, a second point, and Bob, I'm glad you shared with us Psalm 34 this morning, right? Our second point in how to use your words is to use your words for blessing. Look at verse number 9 in chapter 3. "With our tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so." If you find yourself in the habit of cursing someone or speaking poorly about somebody, and again, we can get into our social media constructs and our political perspectives and everything else that's going on. If you find yourself in that world, when you're cursing somebody else or putting them down or all you're doing is being consumed by what's happening, I'm going to ask you the question, have you stopped blessing God with your tongue? Have you stopped blessing God with your words? Yes, Jesus is angry about the things that are going on in the world. We can be angry as well. But if you've stopped blessing God with your words because you're so upset and uptight about other things, they're going to be useless. Psalm 34, and we sang it together, right? "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes it boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." How do you use your words for blessing God? Not to be blessed by God. How do you use your words for blessing God? You know, it's not natural for us to speak this way. Blessing God is not our native tongue. Our native tongue is all self-centered and all about us. But what we are trained to do as we are transformed more and more into the image of Christ is to use our tongue and everything about us to be blessing him and giving him credit, that he can make it so that his praise will continually be in my mouth. Think about this. If his praise is continually on your mouth, what does it mean when I tell you that Jesus is present for every single conversation? Every conversation you're having, Jesus is present. He's hearing everything that's said. He's understanding everything that's said. Is he receiving the blessing for everything that's said? Is he seeing the church of Christ being built up? Is he seeing the kingdom of God being advanced? He is present in every single conversation. But is he present in every single one of your conversations? Is he lifted up in your conversations, or are you the one that's lifted up? Do you discuss his kingdom goals, or do you discuss your earthly goals? His praise shall continually be on my mouth. It'll be coming out into everything that I'm talking about. Now, somehow you can ask the question, you know, even in our family life, how does it come out that we're praising God as we're going through the daily routines that we're going through? And honestly, it's easy for us to get into a robotic mode where we forget to praise him in the daily, menial things that are going on. But he is constantly at work. And his praise should continually be on our lips. I think during some of those times, it's easy for us to think that we've taken our salvation for granted. As we go through our days, as someone who's been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, as someone who's had their sins forgiven by the one who died on the cross, someone who's been promised new life because he's risen from the dead. Do we forget these things as we're taking out the trash or doing the dishes or disciplining the children? Do we forget these things? Do we need to be reminded that his praise shall be continually on our lips? We will bless the Lord at all times in all of these things. Brothers and sisters, our eyes need to be on the cross, not just when we're going through tough, intense times and we're coming to those times where we have to trust in him in the valley of the shadow of death. Our eyes have to be on the cross. Our minds need to be set on eternity, even in the small things of our lives. Even in the small things of our lives. Now, Colossians 3 reminds us that if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Seek the things where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You know, there's this constant watchfulness, a constant preparation, a constant gaze on what's going on for eternity in the heavens. You know, and for our adult Sunday school class, we're going through the book of Judges, and we got to the story of Gideon. And there's an example of constant preparedness in there, isn't it? Remember where those God tests the warriors to see which are fit. He has them all go take a drink of water. And those that stick their faces down in the water, God says they're not fit for my service. But those who pick it up in their hands and drink it from their hands and are always watching around, always being vigilant, those are the fit warriors. That's what we need to be. We need to be the ones that are constantly with our eyes, our gaze set on heaven, not just sticking our face down to do our own thing and get through the day, but to have our eyes constantly set and fixed on heaven. 1 Peter 3 tells us, "But in your hearts, honor the Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." You don't know when you're going to have the opportunity, the occasion, or even the neighbor coming up to you and asking you a question that's going to lead into a deeper conversation about your relationship with Jesus. You don't know when that's going to happen. You need to always be prepared for that. You need to be always looking at opportunities to be blessing the Lord through all of your words in every single conversation. There's much more to be said on that, but I only have a certain number of words I'm allowed to use for a sermon. Our third point, how to use your words, to use your words as a refreshment. We can bless God, we can also bless our fellow man instead of cursing him. Again, to verse 9. With our tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Look at verse 11. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? You know, I love this picture of fresh water coming out of someone's mouth. A pure mountain spring that will only give pure, refreshing water. When you're talking to other people, are you a refreshing, glass of pure water? Or are you bitter salt water that nobody can drink? You know, sadly, on this side of heaven, both come out of our mouths. We say things that are a blessing, and we say things that are anything but a blessing. Both fresh and salt water come out of our mouths. Now, you know, my mind goes into the whole science with this, right? If I've got a gallon of fresh water, and I've got a gallon of salt water in there, think of the words coming out of my mouth. How much of the salt water do I need to pour into the fresh water to make it impure? One drop. One drop. One word. One comment will make the fresh water impure. How much of the pure water do I need to pour into the salt water to make the salt water become pure? How many good things do I need to say to make up for the one bad thing that I've said? No matter how much pure water you pour into the water of bitterness, you can never make it pure again. Only Jesus can do that through his forgiveness. When you tell somebody 100 good things and only one bad thing, what's the thing that they're most likely to remember? The one bad thing, the one negative thing. When you bless somebody 100 times with your words but curse them once, what are they most likely to remember? Again, verse 10, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. You need to use your words as a refreshment and as a blessing to others. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the tongue is powerful. You can slice people up with your tongue. You can build them up with your tongue. But death and life are in the power of the tongue. By the grace of God, pray that the Holy Spirit of God will help you to speak life and not speak death. Help you speak blessing and not speak cursing. You know, there's another quote, not from Mark Twain, but it's from that great theologian Thumper in the movie Bambi. If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. Ephesians 4, Paul says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. It's so easy, maybe it's just me, but it's so easy to engage the tongue without engaging the brain. But as the Holy Spirit controls our words, he will use them for his purposes. Remember from Hebrews 10, the great reminder to us, let us consider, let us think, let us ponder, let us understand how to stir one another up to love and good deeds, that we be a refreshment with our words, right? Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, I love hearing stories of these ladies that gather every couple of weeks to speak into each other's lives and to speak life in each other's lives. Now, I'm glad that Sunday school's back. Not only is it a great time to share with each other in the Word during Sunday school, but the refreshment time between the services gives much more than coffee as a refreshment. The fellowship and encouragement are such important applications of Scripture. I'm glad that we've got Wednesday nights now. We have not just the Zoom meeting going on for the shepherding group. We also have one that's meeting here in the church at 7 o'clock. The opportunities to be encouraging each other and to be refreshing each other with the things of God. Because we know the things of the world have dragged us down all week long. I know, it's not natural. It's not natural in this world to be encouraging. It's not natural to be lifting each other up. We need to train our mouths to offer the pure, refreshing water of biblical encouragement. You never know when it could be the only thing, the one thing that shines the light of Christ into a person each week. Now, just to make sure we're being clear with this, the need to encourage one another doesn't mean that we're never supposed to have hard conversations. In fact, James ends this entire letter by saying, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. We need to be refreshing to one another and recognizing we're supposed to be entering in and helping each other with our sin. you know, Hebrews doesn't just say to encourage one another. It says exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you would be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I need you to exhort me, to encourage me, that I won't fall into the deceitfulness of sin. You need me to encourage you, to exhort you, that you wouldn't have your heart hardened and fall into the deceitfulness of sin. We live in a fallen world, and we need to recognize that, yes, we all stumble in many ways. You know, Paul says to the Galatians, he says, brothers, if anyone's caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual, you have that fresh flowing water coming out, should restore him with the spirit of gentleness. If someone is struggling and stumbling in sin, we don't just watch them flail around in this tumultuous sea of bitter water. Does the lifeguard ever say, gee, they look like they're drowning, but if I dive in, they might be offended and take it the wrong way? No, they dive in. They dive in. Matthew 18 tells us that if your brother sins against you, if he sins against you, you go and you tell him his fault. You dive in. You dive in. And if he listens to you, you've gained your brother. It is a blessing. It is the greatest refreshment when someone who is stumbling in sin is prayerfully and lovingly confronted. You know, Proverbs 25, 11, and 12, great reminders of this. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. What a beautiful picture. Words that are fitly spoken are like apples of gold in settings of silver. And as it fits the occasion, it may give grace to those who hear, right? Now, verse 12 says, like a gold ring, an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. It's actually like fancy jewelry, like gold ornaments, when you're giving a reproof to somebody who wants to hear the reproof. When you're the wise reprover, when you're the one who's rebuking somebody else in love and in prayer, you bless them. Brothers and sisters, hard conversations are necessary for body life. We need each other to point out our blind spots, not to humiliate us or to put us down, but to dive in and to speak life in areas that have grown cold. It's not sharing your opinion. It's sharing God's opinion by sharing God's word. So closing out, let me remind you of 2 Timothy 3:16. Right? All scripture, it's God-breathed. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Use your words as a refreshing blessing, by blessing another with God's word, that you may help somebody else to get built up, that they would be complete, that they would be equipped for every good work. Yes, it might be through teaching or training in righteousness, but sometimes God is going to call you to minister a blessing through rebuking or correcting. Just to wrap it up, you know, how to use your words. Use your words. You need to use them under the full control, the control of the Holy Spirit. What you say reveals your heart, but what you say also changes your heart and stains your entire body. Use your words for a blessing, that Christ will be brought into every conversation. He will be blessed as you're talking to everyone else about who he is. And use your words as a refreshment. Consider the great power of the tongue. Yes, it's like that little rudder that can move an entire ship. You can use that power as God would have you, and use it to advance the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you.